Well, please do have a seat. And it's great to be joined by Nola Leach. Nola is not just a member of the church family here, but also the chief executive of CARE, which is a Christian research and action group. And this whole area of pornography is one where she's been researching both the effects and the responses to it for a number of years. So let me just put two or three quick questions to you, Nola. And again, like Robert, Nola will be around for the questions and answers later on tonight. But Nola, we saw some of those stats at the beginning as to how invasive this whole thing is. I mean, is there anything that we can do, you know, for our country and our nation? Is that too big a scale for anyone to operate?
No, I don't think it's too big a scale. I think it is a huge issue, though. Pornography is not going to go away. It's big business. And it's worldwide. But I think we can, all of us, put pressure and work very positively with our government, where there are a lot of people who are very sympathetic to what we would want to do, but to put pressure on for regulation. Because I think if we don't have regulation, then the vulnerable are going to continue to be the victims. And I would include that in relation to children and young people as well, and what comes in through mobile phones and so on.
Well, that's obviously the sort of big area that, and CARE is obviously heavily involved in that. Let me just sort of move the scale down a little to church life. I mean, what do you look for in a church that's going to be honest at facing up to this issue and yet helpful to people stuck in it?
I think we have to, all of us, recognise, as we've been saying, that this is an issue for every single one of us. We have to be alert because, let's face it, every single one of us could be affected. We know people who have been affected. And so I think it's to be alert, but I think it's also to be showing the grace and the love that God offers and to be there for people for the long haul, to help them to be accountable.
Well, let me try and put a bit more flesh on that by kind of reducing it even more and personalizing it. A friend comes to me and confides in me that this is a real, genuine problem for them. I mean, how do I respond? Solve the problem for me in one, could you, Nola?
So, yeah, I wish I could.
Well, you're here to do that.
Right, fine. No pressure. I think the first thing is to not be condemnatory. I think it's to understand. I think it is also, though, there is a firmness that's needed there in love, to help that person to recognise that they need someone to be accountable to. And it may be that you are that person, but it may be that you point them to somebody else who can help. And to be there for them and their families, because the devastation that we've seen on family life is huge, and it will go on for years. Addiction is addiction, and the temptation is always there, as we've seen. So that love, that concern, helping people to be accountable, helping to mentor them, those are the sorts of things. And pointing them, if we feel we can't help, but it's just too big for us, there are people there who can help, and it's pointing them to those people.
Well, thank you so much for that wise input. As we begin to draw things together tonight, we're going to turn to the Bible again. Constance is going to come and read to us from John's first letter. It's page 1225.
1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and don't live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us all from sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives.
Thanks so much, Constance. Now, look closely at this first paragraph in particular, because it's going to sum up so much of what we need to learn tonight. God is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. No place for pornography. No fooling God over pornography either. So God's church can't be a community which brushes under the carpet what offends God. I've got a good friend for whom this is a real problem. He's been at sex addiction groups, and he told me being hooked on pornography is a lonely existence. I have many friends I know, he said, but I don't have many friends who know about this. And you need to spend time feeding the habit, and you only do it in the dark. By which he meant on your own, away from prying eyes. But God is light. So you see verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and don't live by the truth. Well, whatever we have, it's not a relationship with this living God. But verse 7, if we walk in the light. Now, he's not saying if we're perfect. That would disqualify all of us. But if we stop pretending we have no dark side. If we step into God's all-searching, all-seeing, all-forgiving light. Of course, that's the issue, isn't it? I mean, stepping into the light is the very last thing I want to do. It leaves me so exposed and vulnerable. That's why it's such an unthinkable thing to do. Yet stepping into the light is what activates his grace. It's so counterintuitive. I want approval on my merits, but God sees through them. I find it hard to imagine his loving acceptance could be mine when my faults are exposed, so I try to hide them. Now, I'm not talking about exposing them to the whole church as if we're going to have some public confession, but to God himself, who, if you think about it, knows them already. And yes, for many, it will also mean involving a Christian friend, someone who will work with me through the struggle. If we walk in the light, you see how verse 7 goes on, we have fellowship with God. Well, it doesn't say that. That's what I would have written, but for very good reasons they didn't get me to write the New Testament. Because although it's true, there's a different point the writer wants to make here. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Genuine, valid relationship. No one-upmanship, no pretense going on. The group John is writing to had experienced others too proud, too blind to any sins to walk in the light, too often looking down their noses on the ones they thought were spiritually inferior they had to put up with in the church. It's why the super spiritual ones had left. With pornography, it tends to be the other way around. We tend to be too ashamed, too nursing our secret, even if all the time we want to be free of it. Many is the Christian who wants this secret sin not to be hidden anymore, just is powerless to get there. And the church needs to be a safe place to talk, a place to tell, not to hide. And only grace can make us that. We are a community of the undeserving. We're a community where you're allowed to have problems. So, if you're confided in, I mean, as Noel was saying, don't say, you've been doing what? You know, or throw your hands up in horror. Someone has taken a massive step towards you. Please don't step back from them, away from them. But don't just listen acceptingly. And then park the information, file it in a cupboard, live as if it wasn't there. You weren't told, so that you did that with it. Again, Tim Chester's got some remarkable responses in that book. Here is what people discovered when they told. I told others about my habit. It was a cry for help, but no one really seems to check up on me. Accountability has been really helpful, although I wish they'd called me up on it more often and regularly just ask straight out, have you been looking at porn recently? Accountability has been a bit of a dead end, really, said someone else. I told other men at various times, and each time we've agreed to ask one another, but it's not once happened. I think even when we have permission, men don't like to ask. Well, in which case, stop being manly and start asking. And if you're married and hooked on pornography, your spouse does need to know. you need to be genuinely in fellowship with them of all people. But they may not be the first person to tell. And they will need help themselves to handle it. It doesn't need to be a game breaker in a marriage. But hiding it is the most likely way to make sure it is. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Watch again how verse 7 goes on. And the blood of Jesus, his death on the cross for our sins, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. It's striking. He doesn't use the forgiveness word here, though he means that. And in verse 9, when he spells it out, he uses it there. He says purifies, cleanses. And that's what many instinctively feel they need with this kind of sin. Only even a long, hot, deep bath doesn't do the trick. This kind of sin gets too deep within us. We need some kind of spiritual steam clean that'll wash out the innermost filthiness, and that's just what's promised. See, it purifies us from all sin. Now please, don't look at me, just look at it in print, even though you know what it's saying, look at it. Let the eyes take it in. There will be some here who will need that before you can believe this. Before you can trust it. All sin includes this. All sin. I don't know how you think of Jesus. Or allowing Jesus near this secret. But put this in the equation. Jesus purifies from all sin. How does the church reflect all of this? What would it look like? Here's the best I can come up with. A community of the cleansed where the dirty are welcomed. See, no one's part of the All Souls family because we're good. You may not know the particular bad in us, but we're only here because Jesus does, and he has purified us and cleansed us. The best of us are still forgiven sinners. But we've not forgotten it either, and we want others to know the experience too. We've not grown house proud. We're not going to say, don't come in here with those shoes on. Don't put any of your dirt on my carpet. I've just cleaned it. No, it's the community of the cleansed where the dirty are welcomed. You've got to put the two together. Pray God. That is the All Souls family. Pray God some tonight will step into the light and become a genuine part of such a community. We've covered a lot of ground. We've covered it very fast. We're going to take time just to pause, to reflect, to think over what we've heard. And to help us, here are some words of someone who may not have had much pornography, but he was up to his neck in sexual filth, from raping slave women to prolonged immorality. But he also became an expert in something else too. Something that could reach and even clean that lifestyle. God's amazing grace.